Sermon title today is Imitators of God. The reason for the season is Jesus, the greatest gift given to humanity. It was the greatest gift then, and it is still the greatest gift today. In John 10:10, it says that Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. In John chapter 4, Jesus told the woman at the well, if you drink from this well water, you will come again and again. But the water that I give you, you will never thirst. It will become a fountain springing up into everlasting life. In our thirst in this life, only Jesus can satisfy. In our quest for eternal life, only Jesus can satisfy. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, there is salvation in no other. There is no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved. Praise be to God for the gift of Jesus and the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life that is made available to each and every one of us through the Lord of glory today, and we praise Him forevermore. Last Sunday we talked about faith, and then I said that this week I was going to talk about faithfulness, but the Lord has changed all that. I'm going to speak about something else, and then maybe in the next week or two I'll be talking about faithfulness and how God blesses us through our faithfulness. But if you were not able to be here last Sunday, I still walked out of the church, and I'm still amazed today. There was only like 55 of us that was here today, or yet last Sunday, which, you know, it used to be that would be a fantastic number. We were never used to having 55 people at church, but now if we're under 80 or 90, we really think that we're really hurting because there's not that many people out. But there was a lot of people that were out because of the weather and also because of sickness and other things that was going on, and we perfectly understand that. But there was only 55 of us here last Sunday, but you know what? There was over 10 people that came to the altar last Sunday. It was amazing service. It was just the power of the Holy Spirit. And I praise Him for what He has done and what He did in their lives that particular day. That day I was standing up here as preaching, and I looked in the back rows, and there was people that were wiping tears out of their eyes, and I thought, boy, the Holy Spirit is falling in this place today. He's touching lives, and we praise God forevermore. Turn with me today to John chapter 3 and verse 16. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, we're going to read more than just verse 16, but we go to John chapter 3. It's a verse that, my goodness, you're all so very, very familiar with. Probably one of the most memorized scriptures in the Bible is John chapter 3 and verse 16. But we start reading from verse 16. It says, and whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. And he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The gift of eternal life was given to us by God, and His name is Jesus. In 1 John in chapter 4, verse 8, it tells us that God is love. God is love, and He offers us love and forgiveness. God's grace is defined as undeserved, unmerited favor that He shares with each and every one of us. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, God so loved you, He gave Jesus. You know that song, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Lord Jesus went to the cross, He took you with Him. He already died for your sins. He sacrificed for every sin that was in our life. It was a sacrifice that would end all other sacrifices. The scripture says that He would go into the most holy place one time, and it would be one time that would die for all of humanity and all of humanity's sins, if only the world will accept Jesus. God so loves you, forgiveness is available to you. And I want you to think about that just for a moment, that through Christ, God has extended His love, His forgiveness to you and I today. Now, we're going to come back to John chapter 3, but turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We won't read this whole chapter, but let me tell you, this is a beautiful passage of Scripture all the way through Romans chapter 5. But we're going to go to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to pick it back. We're going to pick it up at verse 6. And we're going to read verses 6 through 11. In verse 6 of Romans 5, it says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." He died not knowing whether you would accept him or not. He died knowing that you cannot save yourself. In verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." He didn't wait till we became worthy of his love. He didn't wait for us to be worthy of his unforgiveness. He died not knowing whether we would love him, not knowing whether we would seek his forgiveness. In verse 6 it says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And then in verse 8, "But God demonstrated his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So most truly, that when he went to the cross, I was on his mind. Yes, Christ died for me. He made forgiveness available to me. Now let me ask you, because now we're going to get to the sermon. Let me ask you, is that who you are? Is your love available to everyone? And is your forgiveness available to everyone? As your pastor, I will always love you, no matter what. And as your pastor, I will always forgive you, no matter what. Now think about that. As a congregation, how does that make you feel? That as a pastor, I'm standing before you today, and I'm telling you today, I will always love you. I'm telling you today that I will always forgive you. We can disagree. We can argue. We can have a knockdown fight and an argument about something, but I love you and I will forgive you. But there are two things that I will do. I will love you and I will forgive you. In our Christian walk, should we ever expect anything less? In our Christian walk, should we expect anything less than that? I would pray that you would always love me and that you would always love Carol. I would pray that you would always forgive me and that you would always forgive Carol. That does not exclude responsibility or accountability just because we love and just because we forgive. Ephesians 5, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2, Ephesians 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." We are to be imitators of God. Two of the most godly things that we can do is to love others and is to forgive others. We could put many things on that list, couldn't we? We could say, well, I'm going to memorize the whole book of John. Or I'm going to memorize the first five books of the Old Testament like the Jewish people do. We could say all those things and we could say, boy, they're really special. They're really special, aren't they? But the two most godly things we can do, even though that memorization is important, even though all those other things are important, the most important things that we can do in our life is to love others and is to forgive others. Because that truly is a godly experience when you share that with other people. In Romans chapter 5, we talked about in verse 10 and 11, we seen and saw the word reconciled and reconciliation. And we've talked about that word before, that reconcile, we have talked about, is really an accounting term, that you're reconciling the accounting. When we accept Christ, we are reconciled to God. Our relationship is restored to our Heavenly Father. The account is settled. When we say the old account was settled long ago. Through Christ, the books are balanced. Sin has separated me, but through Christ, I have been reconciled back to my heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn with me back to John chapter 3. Back to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." In other words, the Lord Jesus is talking about us being born again. Believing, believeth, heartfelt, committed relationship that I am entering into. Romans chapter 10 talks about what? He that believes and confesses will be saved. So he that believes in his heart, confesses with his mouth, he will be saved. So we're talking about, last week we talked a lot about faith has action. Webster Dictionary's faith is just believing. But biblical faith has action. So you not only believe, you act on what you believe to be true. When you act upon the belief of the Word of God, we find out that what we do, we believe in our heart, but we confess it with our mouth, because that is our action. Whenever that you're going to receive something from God, if you're going to receive salvation, there has to be action. If you're going to receive a healing, there has to be action. If you're going to receive deliverance, there has to be an action on your part. It may be standing up, it may be coming forward, but you're coming forward with the belief that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, and I'm going to touch the hem of his garment today, and he is going to set me free. Amen? Amen. So last Sunday, we had countless people that came forward. Because I had made the statement that I went to church when I was a young boy. I went to church and took my daughter to church later in life. But I was not saved until I was 24. And why was that? It's because I was putting my trust in dead faith. I believed in God. I believed in Jesus. But I never put it to action. And action was I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. There's many people that came forward today. Last Sunday, because there's churches all over the United States, church after church after church, the Lord Jesus is going to come. The Lord Jesus is ready to come. On the prophetic calendar, he's the next thing to happen. Jesus is going to come. Are you ready for his coming? And there's so many churches, people are sitting there, well, I acknowledge God and I believe in Jesus. They're relying on dead faith to take them to heaven, and it will not happen. In America, there's going to be countless churches that are going to be left behind. People that are going to be sitting in their pews on Sunday morning because they believe, but they never put action with their belief. And that is confession of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Jesus gives us this opportunity. In verse 16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." In verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." In verse 18, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." God does not condemn us. He desires for all to be saved. We condemn ourselves when we do not accept Jesus. We see that, you see, sometimes as Christians, our love and our forgiveness is offered to others on a very much merit basis. Do they deserve it? Did they earn it? And let me tell you a story about Pastor Leo earlier in my Christian walk. This is what I would say. Well, if that person would ask me for forgiveness, then I will give it to them, but not until they ask. And I'd say, well, I mean, after all, don't people have to come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness? And let me ask you, since when did I go to the cross? If we are going to extend the grace of God to others, there are two things that need to be given freely. And that is love, and that is forgiveness. Forgiveness has more to do with you and your character than it does of the character of the person you're forgiving. Now think about that just for a moment. It has more to do with your character and your relationship with Jesus than it does with the person that you are forgiving. Forgiveness extended to others has nothing to do with accountability or responsibility. If they feel none of those things towards us, and maybe they should, but irregardless, they are still accountable to who? God. But let me ask you, is their accountability and their responsibility more important to you that you get it than God? The flesh says, I want it. The flesh says, I deserve it. They hurt me. They damaged me. They did something wrong to me. They owe me, and I deserve it. But God says, for your own well-being and your own spiritual wholeness, extend to them love and forgiveness, and they will give an account to me someday. I will hold them responsible. I will hold them accountable. Today, there are people in hell that Christians haven't forgiven. Think about that. There are people in hell that people on this earth that haven't left yet, that you have still not forgiven them and will not forgive them, and maybe they have passed and they've gone on to hell. Maybe they did not know Jesus. But I'm not going to let go of that unforgiveness. I'm not going to let that go. I deserve it. It's mine. They owe it to me. And who is it hurting? Who is it hurting for the person that has passed away? It's hurting you. We've said that before. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison thinking it's going to kill the other person. It's not going to hurt them. It's only hurting you. It doesn't mean anything at all if I forgive you and you never forgive me. Because my reward is from him, not from you. Brother and sister, we have to change our perspective on love and forgiveness if we're going to be the people that God wants us to be. Then immediately, I forgive you. If you're accountable for something, maybe someday we'll get together and talk about it. But if not, it's okay. It's okay. I've done things wrong. I'll do things wrong with you. I will say things wrong with you. I may hurt you. I want you to forgive me. And brother and sister, I guarantee you, I will give you my forgiveness. What a guarantee. And we can do that because of what Jesus has done on the cross for each and every one of us today. He came for the ungodly. He came for those that were without strength. And he gave his love. He gave his forgiveness. Forgiveness is already done. We have to just accept it. His sacrifice is already made if we're willing to accept it. That's the part where it condemns us, because we refuse to accept it. Sometimes we just need to bring things to the altar to give that over to the Lord. Lord, I forgive them. I turn it over to you this day. I'm not going to carry that anger. I'm not going to carry that hurt. I'm going to not carry that unforgiveness anymore. I want to turn to one last scripture in this teaching today. As you turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, we'll start reading from verse 40, I think. It's reading a little bit, but that's okay. I'm still early, even with communion. We're doing great. In Luke chapter 7, verse 40, it says, Jesus said to Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, Teacher, go ahead and say it. There are certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her hair, tears, and wiped them with her hair on her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with the fragrant oil. And therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. How much forgiveness have you received? Well, that just melts my heart. The night I come to the Lord, I was just overcome with tears. I just felt so unworthy to receive his forgiveness. He forgave me of so much that today I know that when I leave this earth, I'm going to walk on the streets of glory. He has forgiven me so much. How dare I not forgive others? And this is a real hardship in the Christian community. Of unforgiveness. Forgive them, for I have forgiven you. We need to be imitators of God. And imitators of God is just not studying the Scripture and knowing a lot about the Scripture, but acting as Jesus acted, giving over what Jesus gave to us. Jesus gave us love and he gave us forgiveness. And I have a tendency to believe that there's probably somebody in this room, if not everybody in this room, has somebody in your life that you need to let go of it. Now, why did God change his sermon? I wanted to speak on faithfulness so bad. I did not want to speak on this. I wanted to speak on faithfulness. But here I am at 2:30 in the morning, I'm getting up and I'm changing my sermon because that's not what God wants me to speak on. He wants me to speak on, why is that? He did that for you. He knows what the congregation needs. I don't get a book of sermons sent to me. I just trust in the Lord and ask for the Lord's leading. And you know what? He knows what the congregation needs. He knows what the congregation needs to hear if only we will listen to the Spirit as he leads and as he guides. Everyone in this room, if not everyone in this room, needed to hear this sermon today for some reason. And maybe there's a reason in your life is because you have taken those unforgiveness things that people have done to you. Now, I'm not saying they haven't done something wrong. And I'm not saying they have not mistreated you. Because your anger and your frustration may be very much validated in what they did to you. But what I am saying to you is you just can't load those things up in a backpack and have anger at that person or towards that person or unforgiveness for them for the rest of your life because you're not hurting them, you're hurting yourself. That's what Jesus wants you to know today. If I had to speak for the words of Jesus, Jesus is telling you, you are hurting yourself by that unforgiveness, and I do not want you hurting yourself. I want you to walk in the freedom of my love, and you will walk in the freedom of my love when you release that unforgiveness in your life. Amen? Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for this sermon today, and we thank you for this message because we know that under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's just exactly what we all needed to hear, or a lot of us needed to hear. And then, Father, there was people on your heart when this message was written because you wanted to speak to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. They are hurting themselves, Father. I don't want to see them hurt themselves. And more importantly, I know that you do not want them to see them hurt themselves by carrying that with them. It's a weight that's holding them back. Romans 12:2 says we should lay aside every weight. It's a weight that's preventing us to run the race that we need to run for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, it holds them down, makes them sick to their stomach to think about it. But Father, today, in the name of Jesus, we are going to release that unto you. And everybody in the congregation, you don't have to raise your hand, but just clench your fists if there's somebody in your mind, somebody in your heart right now that you have unforgiveness for. And we are going to release debt to the glory of God, to the accountability and the responsibility of our Heavenly Father today. So maybe most of us have our hands clenched of somebody that we have had struggled with unforgiveness. We have felt like if they come to me, I'll forgive them, but we know that's never going to happen. But we need to forgive them up front. Forgive them right now. And while that person is in that clenched hand right now, we pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're going to place this in your hands. We're going to give it over to you. And I pray that, Father, everyone that feels that today, that, Lord, when they release and open that hand, they're going to let that go on to you, Father. Father, as a submission of prayer. And Father, as they release that, I pray that in the name of Jesus, you would bless them with your presence. And Father, they would feel that release in their life. And we ask it today in the name of Jesus. And everyone right now with that clenched fist, just open it up and let it go to the Lord. Father, we are thankful for that we can come to you with every concern, every hurt, everything that has damaged us in life, and we can release it unto you. And we thank you, Father, for your gift of eternal life, for your presence in each and every one of our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. 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 Father, we are thankful for this day that you have given us to come out and to praise and to lift up the name of Jesus. And I pray that, Father, we would take our faith and we would take our testimony with us to share with other people. Be with us this week. May it be a great week. May your blessings be upon each and every one of us. And, Father, gather us back together as quickly as possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And you are dismissed. Amen.